Good morning. Let's open this morning's service with hymn number 22 from the Gospel Hymns Spiral Hymn Book, and let's all stand together.
Psalm 119 this morning, if you'd like to turn with me there in your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 130 is our text. Between the services, I'm going to ask you if you are planning to participate in the Lord's table to find your way to either one of the back table or this front table and get your own wine and bread and bring it back to your seat and put it in the holder in front of you. And that way you'll have it at the end of the second hour. So we've never done it that way before, but we just figured that's probably the best way to do it under the circumstances. So that's the way we'll do it till something else changes. Okay. Also, after the second hour, as many of the men that are available to help, we need to load up the pews in the old building, and we have a truck here. Ryan, did you bring that truck? It's over there now, so we'll try to get those loaded up today, and then we can get started on the old building. If you need to get into the old building between services or during the service, there is now a doorbell. Because the ladies have that locked during the nursery. There's a doorbell on the door, the side door that has the awning. There's a little white doorbell there, so you can press that and let them know you need to get in. All right. Let's ask the Lord's blessings. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee pleading Your mercy. Lord, we know that we are deserving of Your wrath, but we also believe that You delight in showing mercy and that You have satisfied Your holy justice in the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary's cross. And so, Lord, we pray that You would send Your Spirit enabling us to to look to Christ for your mercy, to look to Him for the forgiveness of our sin, to look to Him for your grace and for all the blessings of your goodness toward us. Thank you for your word. Lord, we know that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to divide asunder the soul from the spirit and the thoughts from the intents of the heart. Lord, reveal to us our need for Christ. Reveal to us His glory. Reveal to us His accomplished work. Increase our faith. Enable us to believe on Him. For it's in His name we ask it. Amen. I've titled this message, A Word for the Simple. Now, most people don't consider themselves to be simple. This word simple in our text means to be naive. It means that you believe anything. It means that you're so open-minded that anybody's suggestion is sufficient for you. And though that may not be true when it comes to the natural things of this world, most people are a little inquisitive. Most people are somewhat critical and inquiring and analytical when it comes to the natural things of life. When it comes to spiritual things, all men by nature are simple. We come into this world simple-minded. And by this word simple, it's very similar to what we experience with very young children. Very young children will believe anything you tell them. And that's how we come into this world. And that's how we will remain if the Lord doesn't open the eyes of our understanding. If He doesn't give us faith, we will remain simple all our lives, just swallowing hook, line, and sinker whatever the religious world has to tell us. But here in our text, the Lord says in verse 128, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts. I hold high. That's what the word esteem means. I value greatly all the precepts of God, the Word of God. Concerning all things to be right, to be true. And and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Verse 129. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The most inquiring, analytical, intelligent people in this world will believe the most ridiculous things when it comes to the most important thing in their life. And you would too. And I would too. We have. Some of us have. And if the Lord doesn't convert us and convince us by His word what the truth is, we'll remain simple. Simple-minded. We'll believe traditions. We'll abandon our soul to our feelings. We'll abandon truth to the persuasion of men or to science, so-called. God has to open His word in order to give the simple understanding. And here we have a word for the simple, the naive, the ones who are by nature so open-minded that they'll believe anything. Look with me again at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. If the light of the gospel doesn't shine in our hearts in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ by the means of God's word, we'll not have any understanding of truth. We'll remain in darkness. We'll remain in darkness. For it, the word of God, giveth understanding to the simple. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word. They just believe whatever you tell them. It is incredible what men will believe when it comes to spiritual things. And yet, it's not surprising. He's spiritually dead. He's spiritually blind. He's spiritually unable to know anything that's true about God unless God opens his word and gives understanding to the simple. I've wondered why it is that the religious are so open-minded. Why is it that they are so willing to negotiate and compromise with one another what they say they believe? And the answer to that question is that they don't believe anything. They really don't believe anything. What a great joy and what great comfort and what great hope and what great confidence and what great security we have in believing the truth. Believers are really the only ones that believe. They're the only ones that believe. Unbelievers are willing to compromise everything that they hold to. They really don't believe anything. They don't believe the truth. What they do believe can be negotiated if properly persuaded, and they're offended by the fact that we're not willing to negotiate what we believe. When the Lord gives those who are by nature simple-minded understanding, they're no longer open-minded. Not when it comes to the truth. They're no longer open-minded. They're not willing to compromise. They're not willing to negotiate. They're not willing to change what the Lord has taught them. They know what they believe is true. When the Lord said to the disciples, will you leave me also? What did they say? Lord, where should we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We know and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember in John chapter 11, after the time of Lazarus' resuscitation, that's really what it was, the Lord was talking to Martha. And Martha said, well, Lord, we know that he'll rise in the resurrection. And the Lord said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe this? And what'd she say? She said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God, the Christ, the one that should come into the world. I believe. And nothing's going to change that. What great hope. I can remember years in religion, you know, running to and fro to listen to this preacher or that preacher or go to this conference or that conference or changing my position on this doctrine and that doctrine over and over again. And when the Lord teaches you who Christ is, you no longer do that. You just persuaded. You're persuaded. Paul said, I am persuaded. That is my persuasion. And my persuasion has been given to me by God. And had he not given it to me, I'd be open-minded. I'd be simple. I'd be like a little child, just being led about by every opinion of man. But now that God has spoken, I have a settled faith. I believe. I'm sure. I'm sure. Psalm 119, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Can't be added to, and it can't be taken away from. Don't you love the way the scriptures conclude? The Lord concludes his whole canon of scripture by saying, "If any man adds to the prophecy of this book, the curses of this book should be added unto him. And if any man take away from them, his name shall be taken away out of the book of life. He'll have no hope of salvation." We don't add to God's word. We don't take away from God's word. We don't add to the work of Christ. And we don't diminish the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sure. We're sure. What else can we say that we're sure of? Nothing. We don't know what's going to happen with our president. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We don't know what's going to happen with the elections. We don't know what's going to happen with our own life. We don't know about our own life tomorrow. What is your life? It is a vapor. We're not sure of anything. And that's the way men are when it comes to the gospel. They just willing, but we have a sure hope. He giveth understanding to the simple. We didn't come to this understanding on our own. We didn't achieve some level of intellect that enabled us to figure it out. It was revealed to us. What do you have that you did not receive? Lord, I'd be just as simple-minded as everybody else. I'd be just as open-minded, and it's just as easily to be persuaded with a lie as everybody else would be if you didn't give me understanding by your word. But what great comfort, what great hope, what great surety in a life that is filled with uncertainty. I am sure. I'm sure that God's word is true. I'm sure that Jesus is the Christ. I'm sure that he accomplished the salvation of his people. I'm just certain of it. Where else are we going to stand? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There's no salvation apart from the preaching of the gospel. God uses the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Lord, I'd be so simple-minded. I wouldn't know up from down. I wouldn't know truth from error. I wouldn't know right from left. If you don't open your word, if you don't send your spirit, to open your word, open that which no man can shut, open the windows of heaven, open my heart, give me faith to believe. And when he does, the law of the Lord makes wise the simple. Makes wise the simple. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. We need a firm ground to stand on, don't we? We need a rock. We live in a world that just seems to be shifting sand all around us. And the greatest evidence of that is in us, in our own inability to just maintain our faith as we ought. We just so easily. We're kind of like, which one of the Jacob's sons that he said, "You're weak as water." You know, we're so easily led one way or the other. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, Solomon's a type of Christ. He's the king of peace. He's the son of David, and he's the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety. Now, that word subtlety means wisdom and discernment. To give wisdom and discernment to the simple. You see, there's the problem, that the unbeliever doesn't believe himself to be simple. He thinks he's got it all figured out. And the child of God says, Lord, if you don't keep me and you don't teach me, and you don't provide your truth for me, I'll revert right back to what I am by nature. To give wisdom and understanding to the simple, verse 4, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The sayings of God are dark to the natural man. He can't see them. Turn to me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. There is an area in life where the Lord has admonished us to remain simple. Ignorant, that's what the word means. Naive. What is that area? Romans chapter 16, look at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. In other words, men are drawn away by the speech of another man, even though that man be man's words be contrary to the word of God. Who does that? The simple do. The simple will hear the words of a person causing division and contrary to the doctrine of the gospel and say, no, that's not true. That's not true. But the simple will be led astray. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. We ought not to be so familiar with the evil things of this world that we understand them. The Lord's saying, you know, remain simple to the evil of this world. Remain ignorant. What is it that that the simple understand from God's word? Well, we understand that we're sinners. We understand by the revelation of God's word that every imagination of our heart is only evil, and that continually. We understand that in us, left to ourselves, there's nothing good. We understand that to will is present with us, but how to perform that which is good, we find not. We're not able to have a holy thought. We're not able to perform a righteous work. Why? Because we're sinners. We understand that. We understand that that every man at his very best state is altogether vanity. We understand that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and no man can know it. We understand that we're dead in our trespasses and in our sins, apart from the work of grace giving us life in Christ. We have no ability to believe. We're unable to believe. We cannot come to God. We understand that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. We understand that our faith is a gift from God, that we didn't decide one day that we were going to believe. We understand God said the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? We understand that left to ourselves, we're hell-deserving, simple-minded sinners. We believe that. Why do we believe something that's so contrary to what everybody else in the world believes? Because he's given understanding to the simple. He's revealed this truth to us in his word. And we know it's true. We believe that our God is absolutely sovereign and that he is omnipotent. That he has chosen a particular people according to his own will and purpose before the world was ever shaped and formed. We believe that what our God does is right. We believe that he's sovereign over the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We believe that he's the potter and we're the clay. And he has the sovereign right to make out of the same simple lump of clay some vessels of honor and some of dishonor. Why do we believe that? Because God said so. He's given wisdom and understanding to the simple. The world doesn't believe this. The religious world doesn't believe this. We believe our God is sovereign in salvation. That he spoke the worlds into existence and that he holds all things together by the word of his power. We believe that he's sovereign in providence. That he works all things together for our good. And he does it ultimately for his own glory. We believe he's sovereign in salvation. We believe that he'll have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and he'll have compassion upon whom he will have compassion. And it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Why do we believe these things? Because the precepts of God are true and perfect, and they've revealed. You see, this is where we stand. This is our sure hope. This is what we believe. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father in the power of the Spirit of God to actually accomplish the salvation of God's people. That God saw the travail of his soul and God was satisfied. That it pleased the Father to bruise him. That he was a root out of dry ground. That we would have despised him by nature. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him. Isaiah chapter 53. We didn't have anything in us that was attracted to him. And there was nothing in him that was attracted to us. He had to have mercy upon us. He had to bring us to that place where we're able to hear the gospel and believe. You see, this is what faith is. Faith is just saying, yeah. Yay, Lord. What did Martha say? When the Lord said, believest thou this? Yea, Lord. Yea, yes. I believe that you are the Son of God, the Christ, the one that should come into the world, the successful Savior of sinners, simple-minded sinners, sinners that would have no hope of salvation if you didn't accomplish it. Brethren, we need some stability, don't we? We need some place to hang our hopes. And Christ is that nail, the scripture says. The scriptures likens the Lord Jesus Christ to a nail fashioned in a sure place. Hang all your hopes on him. We believe the Lord has to send His Spirit. He has to open the eyes of our understanding. He has to give us faith. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you got to be born by the Spirit. The Spirit of God. And you know you're completely dependent upon Him. That's why you keep begging. The Lord said, if you being evil, there we know we're evil. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And what are we always doing? Lord, send your Spirit. Give me your Spirit. Don't leave me to myself. Shine the light of the gospel by your Spirit on your word in my heart. Except you be born of the Spirit, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't even perceive of it. You can't see it. And we believe that. And we believe that He's got to keep us and present us faultless, don't we? Lord, if you don't preserve me, protect me, provide for me, keep me, Lord, I'll forsake you. We see enough of that in our hearts every day, don't we? To know that if the Lord didn't keep us on a leash, if He didn't restrain us, you know, I used to think when I was a young man, I want to do great things for God. Now I'm just thinking, Lord, just restrain me. Just don't let me be a reproach to the gospel. Don't let me, just keep me. We believe that our God's sovereign. They honor Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from them. They're so simple-minded and so open-minded that they will call Him God and then turn right around and deny the very essence of deity by denying Him sovereignty and omnipotence. Wait a minute, you say that Jesus is God. But you're so simple-minded and so open-minded and so ignorant that you're willing to say two things that are contrary to one another. If He's God, then He's God. And if God's not sovereign of everything, He's not God. And yet He is dependent upon you to do something in order for Him to be able to save you? What kind of God is that? And you and I would believe the same thing. We'd believe two opposing contradictions and hold to them both at the same time and die right between them if the Lord didn't give understanding to the simple. We would. You know, we sometimes get frustrated with our unbelieving friends and family members, religious ones in particular, who hold to nonsense. They hold to contradictions. And we say, you know, can't you see the inconsistency of what you're saying? But the real miracle is that we're not like them. That's the real miracle. You know, why can't they see it? No, why do I see it? Why has the Lord made me to differ? Why? That's the miracle. That's the amazement. That's the thing that ought to just keep us in wonderment all the time. Lord, why did you have mercy upon me? We believe that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. We don't believe He's trying to save anybody or wants to save everybody. We believe that He actually did save His elect. We believe that. I listen to preachers. When I'm going to prepare for a message, I'll go on sermon audio and find somebody that's preached a message from that text. And if I think they have something to say, usually that's based on where they pastor, I'll listen to it. And I listened to one last night. Guy that pastored some church up in Canada that was a Reformed church. And, you know, he didn't say anything. He wouldn't preach like I'm preaching right now. He wouldn't tell the people the truth. And I got so far, I got about halfway through this. They say they believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they won't declare him as the sovereign, successful substitute, sin-bearing Savior, surety of God's people. They won't say it. They won't say it. They're trying to appease everybody. What are they? They're open-minded. They don't say it because they don't really believe it. It's in their doctrine. If you talk to them one-on-one, if I was to talk to this preacher one-on-one, he would agree with everything I had to say, but he won't preach it. Why not? Because he doesn't believe it. That's the simple answer. He doesn't believe it. Child of God, what great hope. What great comfort, what great assurance we have in actually believing God. We really believe. We do. He has given understanding. Now, it doesn't mean that we comprehend all these great and glorious truths. We don't. To that degree, we don't understand any of them. These things are, David said in Psalm 139, he said, these things are too wonderful for me. I cannot attain them. And here's the glorious truth about the gospel. It's simple enough for the most simple person to believe it and understand it. And it's profound enough and deep enough and infinite enough that all eternity will not be sufficient to plumb its depths. That's the glory of the gospel. He gives understanding. We do have some understanding. We understand that we're sinners. We understand who Christ is. We understand what he's done. We're persuaded. Sanctification, that's a work of grace. He's got to set me apart. He's got to make me holy. Go back with me to our text and we'll close. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. That word entrance is the word door, an open door. Paul preached and he said, pray that the Lord will open doors of opportunity for us to be able to preach the gospel. And pray the Lord will open the windows of heaven. He'll open the doors of heaven. He'll open the hearts of men. He'll open up God's word. That's what the word entrance here means. God has to open that up. Otherwise, it's shut out to us. It's shut out to us. The entrance or the opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. The simple. The open-minded, the ignorant. The ones who would, by nature, swallow hook, line, and sinker anything that anybody had to say, had the Lord not opened his word and shined the truth of the gospel in the face of Christ in our hearts. Where else are we going to be? What else are we going to be sure of? Nothing. Nothing. Our Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. Increase our faith in Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.